Radio, KDKR, Decatur, Dallas, Fort Worth, and KYJC Commerce. Portions of KDKR programming do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, are you doing everything possible if you were affected by the AT&T consumer file breach? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know, I do appreciate it. If you got a question for me, I want to invite you to go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Once you get the website, there's a couple of ways to get your questions answered. First is the email, the Ask Bob section. If it's something that they can pretty easy to answer, we can trade a few emails. We'll definitely do that. If it's a little bit more involved in that, there's a lot of moving parts. I'll invite you to go to the calendar, pick a spot, and we can schedule a phone call and talk through your question and get you squared away that way as well. So there's a couple of ways to get information. The bottom line is that you know that there is something. It's a resource. It is at prudentmoney.com, and it's there for you. No strings attached, no cost or anything. It's all there for you. And I'd love to get your questions, and if we can help, we certainly want to. All at www.prudentmoney.com. Let's talk a little bit about the markets, kind of get a little bit of an update on what's happening there. Today was actually a pretty good day compared to the last literally 6 or 7 days where the market hadn't had such a great time. You know, typically, when you see a stock market fall and decline 6-7 days in a row, you're about due for the market to take off and have a good day. It's just the problem is if you're really into a downtrend, you're not carrying through with that. It's kind of a 1-day, 2-day thing, and then it goes back to the decline. But anyway, take it as it comes. Today, the market was up around 1%, or so the S&P 500. Talking a little bit about interest rates, and I didn't get a chance to cover this last week, but Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell said in so many words, actually it's pretty clear about it, but in so many, I can't remember his exact words, but he was talking about the potential that we won't have any interest rate cuts at all this year. And that's what I've thought would be the answer the entire time, just because we don't have the environment that requires him to cut interest rates. Now, I came across an article just today that I thought was really interesting. You know, generally speaking, what happens is an event that happens in the market. It takes the market down. It takes the economy down, and you go through a couple months of that. Then you have the Federal Reserve Board acting more like reacting and starting to cut rates after it probably needed to do so a couple months earlier, and that's just the way. That's the way it's always been. This article was talking about that. This hedge fund manager was talking about how he feels like the minute that you see the Federal Reserve Board cut interest rates, talking about today, is when you probably want to take action, because that is going to be a bad sign. And what he means by that is that he thinks that once the Federal Reserve Board starts to see something happening, that's when they'll cut rates ahead of time. And then the market will, of course, will respond very positively to that until whatever they were cutting rates for catches up with them and creates a negative event for the stock market. Hope that made sense. So it's interesting times, that's for sure. You know, the question always is when we go through, you know, and it, the month of April hasn't been, the month of April hasn't been that great by any stretch. What's that mean for my retirement? Some people kind of start getting ahead. Just remember, there's a lot of different phases of a market that they can go through, and it just depends on where we are, of course. But it could be nothing more than a pause where the market is kind of taking a break. Don't really think that's what's going on right now, but that's the very first phase that it could be going through. The second phase could be a correction. And that's where the market will drop, will be, well, first of all, it gets going up, then it gets into a decline mode and declines 10 to 20%. It could be going into a bear market, which would not be good, because after a correction, the market goes back up again. A bear market is one of those situations where it's over, you get losses well over 20%, and that's probably one of the worst environments you want to be in, because it continues to last for a pretty long time. And then finally, you have a crash. Now, most people might think that that's the worst case scenario, but actually a crash, if you really look at it, and the best example would be the one when COVID hit. If you'll remember, the market went down over 45 days, and then it bounced back, and it recovered everything and went straight up, back up into a bull market. That in itself was not a bear market. That was simply a crash. And a crash is where you take a deep decline pretty quick, but the good thing is it bounces back just as quick. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening and what's going on with the markets. It's always a puzzle, and trying to figuring it out. And one of the things that we've been talking about is identity theft, and we like to continue to bring that up, because I'm under the impression that most people don't take it seriously. And what I mean by that is most people don't stay on alert, stay proactive with your information, and do the things that you really need to do to protect yourself. This was an interesting situation with a company called Change Healthcare. Now they are owned by United Health Group, which is a health insurance company. And Change Healthcare had a cyber attack happen to them in February. And what they do is they process claims for I think it's for United Healthcare. They do process their claims, and they take care of all the billing and everything. Well, this ended up being a really, really bad cyber attack. They demanded $22 million in ransomware, and this is going to end up costing them $1.6 billion. Supposedly, I did a little bit of research on this. A lot of the doctors were not being paid, and were not going to be paid. In fact, I read this. I don't know how accurate the source was, so take it for what it's worth. Sounds a little extreme to me, but they were talking about how some doctors had to shut their doors. They ran out of the savings. They ran out of cash. And because this everything was so messed up, they couldn't pay out the money. So I tell you that just to remind you, these things can get really, really bad, and it's a good idea to take it seriously. Now, this 77 million people were affected by the AT&T cyber attack. And the question I've been getting, and I'll read this to you, is my bank, Chase, sent me a credit journey message that said by a social security number, social security number has been exposed, and then another message about it being on the dark web. They mentioned the AT&T breach. I am an AT&T cell phone customer. In fact, it doesn't matter if you are a cell phone AT&T cell phone customer. Supposedly they broke into consumer information off of former cell phone customers. And this question is, anything should I, could I be doing other than freeze my credit and monitor my credit reports? Really, that is the only thing that you should do. Let me say that again. That's the best thing to do. I'm not saying that there's no way that they're going to figure out any other way to steal your credit, but that's good. I would say that that's good in 85-90% of the cases. What happens when you freeze your credit is that nobody can get into your credit without you and the and a 4 or 5 digit code that you have to be able to supply, and you're the only person who has that code. That's the only way that you can get in. So you pretty much put a lockdown on your credit reports, and people can't get in to draw and open up a credit card accounts or anything like, or loan accounts or anything like that. So freezing your credit card, freezing your credit reports is definitely a step that you want to take. But before you do so, make sure that you go in, you check your credit, your three credit reports out, and make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to. You don't want to freeze your credit report then to find out someone had already had gotten into your credit file. So you would definitely want to make sure everything is just the way it's supposed to be, and then freeze your credit. It doesn't cost you anything, and keep it under a lock and key. And then if you want to take an extra step and do a situation where you sign up for credit monitoring, even though I've never heard of a credit freeze not working, I guess it could happen, anything's possible, but you can go in and have that credit monitored just as an extra step. And then do things like make sure that you stay on top of your checking accounts, make sure you stay on top of your credit cards, and make sure that there's not any fraudulent activity going on in either one. But I think it's just your financial information you just want to stay on top of and make sure is okay. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. You are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. We're up against a break. Stick around and be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
As Pastor Greg Laurie continues his encouraging series called Refresh, this week on A New Beginning, he points to the refreshing truth about trials. We'll see the challenges of life make us stronger and more resilient, and we'll get some good insight on sharing our faith more effectively. Tune in this week for A New Beginning.
A New Beginning, weekday mornings at 7:30, here on KDKR.
That's what the armor of the believer is meant to do for us. It's meant to equip us and encourage us and strengthen us, not to let life happen to us, but to take the initiative and go forward to do battle for Christ.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
Weekday mornings at 9 o'clock here on KDKR.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you've got a question for me, I want to invite you to go to the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Go to the Ask Bob section, send it in, and we'll get you taken care of. There's that a way to get information. Then the second way to get information is through a, you can go to my calendar, reserve some time, and we can have a phone call, phone conference, and talk through whatever you need to. Sometimes it just the Ask Bob section just doesn't quite handle it. Sometimes there's a lot of moving parts. So I want to make sure that you're taken care of. That's all at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. And I do answer all those email questions myself and take it very seriously. So it's a good resource for you. You can go check it out at the website, www.prudentmoney.com. I had an email come in from a client. I get these these offers all the time. They'll say, you know, Bob, you're not going to believe this. Here, check this offer out. This one is from American Express. Now, you know, we've been talking about how high interest rates are. So this is a offer that was made to and I know he's got great credit, phenomenal credit. But the rate is 18.995%. No, that's not it. That's only part of it. Plus the prime rate. So 18.995% plus the prime rate of 8.5%, which makes it 26-27% or something like that. Then here's the kicker. If you have two or more late payments in a 12-month period, you are put in the penalty box of 25.99% plus prime. Now, that's 34.5%. And this is what amazes me, is the arrogance. I guess arrogance is a good word, but it just seemed to be the word to say. These credit card companies, that they think that they're going to be able to charge 34-35% and get their money back. I just wonder, and I'm not encouraging this, don't wish this to happen, just thinking out loud, what happens if people just all of a sudden say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to default to my credit card. I have to default on my credit cards that are charging me, you know, 25% and above, because it's tough. It's very tough just to pay think about it. Just to pay the minimum interest rate on that, depending on what the balance is, it may be a situation where people give up. And I think that wherever we are from the standpoint of getting or falling into any type of a credit crisis, it will be very interesting to see how people handle credit cards, because we're at record levels right now. The last time we were at record levels, of course, we had some other things going on at the same time, was during the financial crisis. But the interest rate environment today is just unbelievable. And just to think, and I wrote this to my clients today in my client letter, just to think if the Federal Reserve Board were to raise interest rates one more time, I could make a case for it. But if they were to raise what the credit card companies would do, it's unbelievable. In fact, I just find it hard to believe that default rates are not any higher than they are. So the good news with interest rates is that you've got options, though. Now, not credit cards, not with debt, but with savings accounts. But you got to know what you're doing. Banking landscape key trends. This is from WalletHub.com. Where do I move my money to? So annual account increases, savings account rates increased by 143% in the past year, while checking account rates increased by 126%. CD rates went up by 95%. Now, when you're reading that, you're thinking that's great. That means banks have got the highest rates. What I've found is that people in general just do not like to have to go out and shop around for this and look for the highest rates and try to get move money around and that kind of thing. They would rather see their banks have these kind of rates already, and so they just have to move a couple, just to open a new account or something. And even though 126%, 143%, 95% sounds high, it's not very high. I mean, we're talking about, it's kind of smoke and mirrors. These numbers are coming from, you know, like around 0.5%. So 143% on 0.5% is not that great. online savings, lending rates. Online-only personal savings accounts provide the market's highest interest rates, offering 3.7 times and higher returns from traditional checking accounts. You got to know, that's not that high. Credit union benefits. Credit unions offer 65 times higher interest rates on checking accounts than regional banks. So check this out. 1.94%, it represents that 65 times higher interest rates. 1.94% versus 0.03%. High yields available. Now, this is interesting to me because every time you see the word high yield, I want you to think, except with this particular situation, I want you to think there's some risk there because high yield is generally associated with risk. But I don't know that you associate high yields with risk as far as money market accounts. Now, when I say money market accounts, just think of that as the same as a savings account, any type of an account where you save money. It's just a money market account. Generally, not insured by the bank. It's insured by SPIC, which I can't remember what that stands for. But it does have some type of an insurance program with it. Now check this out. The highest interest rate on a checking account is 5.15%. Before you get all excited about that, just hold on. What you can get from the Redneck Bank Rewards checking account. No, ladies and gentlemen, I can't make this up. The Redneck Bank Rewards checking account. The highest interest rate on a savings account is 5.55%, which you can get from the Flagstar Bank savings account, which is not accurate. I think that I'll tell you where the actual highest interest rate is here in just a second. Anytime you see 5% or greater, you want to make sure, I mean, this account may be the greatest thing ever, but you want to make sure that you look at the limitations and the fine print and make sure that there is not a catch to it. Generally speaking, banks are not able to pay those kinds of rates. That's just the way that it's been. Interest-free promotions, the longest 0% introductory rate available now is 21 months, which you can get with the Wells Fargo Reflect card. Let me tell you this. You got to be really, really careful when you're moving money to interest-free promotion. It's no big surprise Wells Fargo's got the longest time period where you don't have to pay rates. They're very, very tricky. And I like to refer to them as a big credit trap because all they want you to do is move a bunch of money over there, pay hardly no interest for a certain time period. Then that's when they hit you with these higher, much higher rates. I would suggest you might be in a better situation if you stay where you're staying as far as interest rates, because when it all comes down to it, your interest rates may be where you're at right now, maybe 17, 18, 19%. Where you're going, they may be 23, 24, 25% eventually. So you really want to make sure that you're moving to a good spot. Now, highest paying interest rate. Highest paid interest rate is at the New York Community Bank. 5.5%, no gotchas, no nothing. Would it trouble you to know that this bank almost went under, a couple months ago? If it was not for a private equity fund that bailed them out, I think it was either $1 billion or $6 billion or something like that. It was a lot of money. And if it wasn't for that investment group bailing them out, they would have gone completely under. Now, do you want the 5.5% that they're giving, would you want to send your money to a bank that almost went under or would have gone under had they not been rescued? I don't think so. just some food for thought, things that you might consider. Just be careful as you're moving money around, though, because, and we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, actually. We'll talk a little bit more about what to look out for, what to be careful about, and make sure you've got all the information to make a good, prudent decision. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.